is none like you. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise, Father. And now, Father, our creator, our sustainer, will you speak all that you have poured into me all week. Pour out of me now, Father, for your glory. In your name, amen. We live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. There was a minister who was preaching a sermon, and that Sunday morning he was telling everybody that money can't buy you everything. He said it can't buy laughter, it can't buy love. And to drive his point home, he said, what if I give everybody in here $1,000 if they stop loving their mother or their father? It was silent. Then a little small voice said, how much would you? Love can't buy you. Your money can't buy you everything. There was a pastor who shared a story about a lawyer who had really cheated people and really hurt people, and the Lord put it on his heart that he should cancel all the debt that was owed to him as an attorney. So he had 17 people, and he wrote 17 letters saying that their debt had been canceled. He sent all the letters certified. 16 of the 17 letters came back. And the lawyer began to say, wait a minute, maybe I have the wrong address, or maybe I have something that's wrong here. And then he realized what he had done. He looked at the green sheet where people were supposed to sign for it. Folk didn't sign for it.
All right.
You see, the people didn't sign for it, so the letters went back to the lawyer. And it reminds me of church folk. God has sent us a letter, certified. And it says inside the letter, for I love you so much that I chose you. And if you will only receive my letter, it's yours. Your debt has been canceled. This morning I'm going to talk to you about being chosen. Say chosen.
Chosen.
About being chosen. And the thing that I want to share with you is this, is that being chosen doesn't mean that you're better than the person next to you.
All right.
It just means you're chosen. But in order for us to understand this, in John 15, it talks about, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's right. Last week, I tried to give you a deeper understanding about John 15. But in the precursor, the last verses of that, of John 15, the first part of that, verses 7 and 8, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, it says this. Yet when you are attached to God, that God automatically pours into you the power of the Holy Spirit, and God will cause you to bear fruit. Yes. Did you hear what I said? Yes. God causes you to bear fruit. You don't have no choice. Yes. God pulls it out of you if you're attached to the vine. But yet we might find ourselves growing and doing things we know we're not supposed to be doing. And we find that we're laying on the ground, we're low, we're despondent. I don't know if God loves me. I don't know if God cares for me. And we find that the guy who takes care of the vineyard, God, has to send saints by you to pick up yourself or pick the branches up off the ground and prop them up and clean them off. Are you with me?
Yes.
That's what God does for us. When it says when it says that God prunes us, it says that God picks us up out of the miry clay. He washes off all of the dirt for us, and then he clips us back. Because we have grown into some things that we don't need to be into. And he cuts us back so that we can regrow new growth and so that we can bear new fruit so that we can get blessed. Does that make sense? Are you with me so far? You see, a lot of people feel as if they attach to Jesus that they no longer need to be pruned. They no longer need to be cut. But God says that... Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But God says this. God says that if we are attached to the vine, that he has us and he has the best interest for us and he wants us to grow. Are you with me, church? Say amen. I'm getting to my sermon. I see the clock back there. Amen. But hear what God is saying. God is saying that some of us have grown into some things that we know we should not be doing. Some of us, we know we're here on church, we're doing all our church business, and we singing the Lord, and we praising God, and then we go home and we dip it into somebody else's wife. Hey, yes, I did. Or we going to somebody else's husband. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Call it being on the DL. Amen. Hello. Come on, y'all. How can a young college boy who was going for his doctorate in medicine end up having some DL situations going on, end up getting carried away and killed that girl? And everybody said, I don't believe it. You see, many of us can grow into some things that we don't know. You know, we shouldn't be doing that, but we don't know no better. And so then God then sends the Holy Spirit to convict us in order that he might cut us back. It is hard. And that cutting back is called pruning. It's called disciplining. Amen? Oh, here we go. I'm going there. Amen? I haven't got to my sermon yet. Amen? Are you praying with me? And this is like a child. If a child is in the grocery store and a child is pulling down every piece of candy, every cookie box, every cereal box, everything that's not good for them, what do? We tell them, put that stuff back. Yeah. Am I right? And we discipline the child so the child will know how to eat correctly, so the child will come strong and the child won't have all those bad teeth. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We discipline the child in order that child might become the potential of what we desire or what God desires of that child. You see, when I was growing up as a young man, I used to run around and act crazy. And my mama would come home before I hit the door. She knew everything. And as soon as I opened the door, she says, Robert, when I heard that, and if I heard Robert Kevin Freeman, oh, I knew I was in deep trouble. I started crying before I even saw my mama. Amen. Because I knew what was coming. I knew that discipline was coming because she heard that I was out there doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. And somebody saw me and called my mama and said, you know what? Your boy out there beating up that other boy. And my mama looked at me and said, now what you doing fighting? You have no business out there fighting. You are Freeman. You know your last name. Yeah, I know my last name. Then don't you better act like you know somebody. Don't you let me go crazy on you, boy. Yeah, am I speaking here a little bit? You know, nowadays we can't do that because we go to jail. Amen. But amen. Amen. I had enough privet heads to mean. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So John 15 is talking about pruning. It's talking about disciplining in order that the potential that's inside of us or that God might have full reign out and through our lives that we might bear fruit. If you got that, said Pastor Freeman, I got it. Today I'd like to talk to you about living by faith, not by sight, about how God chose us. If you will, turn to your biblical text in your Bible, to John chapter 15, and look at verse 9. And it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment
and abide in his love. Understand what God is saying here. He says, as the Father loved Jesus, so I love you. So then you must love who? Each other. Listen to this. The idea is this, is that God is saying that, look, I have not chosen the chimpanzee to love one another. I have not chosen your dog to love one another. I have reached down in all of creation, everything that I have done, all of the universe, and I chose man and woman. I chose humankind in order that they might bear witness to the love that my Father has for me. Understand, is that the Father is saying here in John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, that God so loved his Son that he wants to demonstrate that love through us, so that when we are grafted into the vine, it is God's love for the Son that's coming through us that's going to our neighbor. And we have to first of all understand that God chose you. God chose Pastor Freeman in order that God's love might come through us. Say amen. Amen. He said, Pastor Freeman, you're not saying something I don't already know. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. This is where the twist is. The twist is this. If you have a lack of a capacity to love people, hello, if you have a capacity to not forgive, then God is saying that you don't know my Son, and my Son is telling the Father that you're not acting right. Are you with me? And the Father then tells the Son, that blessing I have for Trinity Church, hold it. That healing I have for some people at Trinity, put it on hold. The community I want to change, I want to use Trinity to do it, but put all of that on hold until Trinity folk understand that I want to love through them. And when Trinity people realize it's not about them and it's about God wanting to love the world through them, that's when God says, I'm going to bless Trinity beyond what they can think. I'm going to bless the church beyond what it can imagine. I'm going to change the community that because Trinity Church is allowing my love to come through them. Am I making sense here? It's God chose you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you don't love your neighbor like you love yourself, then God says everything is on hold. Everything is on hold. You're not going to get your building paid off because you guys aren't loving each other. You're not going to get this church right until you start loving each other. Until you start saying, God, love through me. Don't get quiet on me. Am I making sense? It's almost like a marriage. Sometimes we make a commitment at the altar. We say, God, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, and death do us part. We do all that good stuff, right? We're at that altar. And we look at you, we look at that girl, we look at that man, and they so clean and so fine. We're like, oh, Lord, there ain't nobody going to separate our love. And then all of a sudden, the devil come in there, and he gets a hold of one of your hearts, and y'all dip out and dip in and dip over and dip whatever. You know what I'm saying? And before you know it, you look at that person like, I hate that person. Am I saying something here? And so God is saying that we must honor one another. We must honor each other. We must love each other, even in our faults, even in our shortcomings. I'm not talking about if somebody's beating you up, you need to get out. Amen. You don't need to take that. Amen. But what I'm saying is, that what is irreconcilable differences? Are you with me here, church? You said, Pastor Freeman, what are you preaching about? I'm preaching on John chapter 15, verse 9. It says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Right. Not your love, my love. Agape love, which is forgiving love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my what? That means if you keep your life right with God, then you will automatically allow God's love to flow through you. When you're disobedient, God's love cannot flow through you. Am I making sense, church? It says in verse 11, Yes, God does. God has chosen you. He has chosen you. But God has chosen you in order that you might bear, listen to this now, in order to bear his name. I remember my father, I'm going to get into the sermon now. I remember my father told me one day, he says, Bob, I says, he don't call me Bob. He says, Robert, I'm going to tell you now, you're going out on a date. I said, yeah, Dad, I'm going out on a date. He says, now, Freeman, Robert, I'm going to tell you something right now. I want you to remember something real important about when you go out on a date. I said, what, Dad? He says, what's your last name? I said, Freeman. And he said, what's your name again? I said, Freeman. He said, let me tell you something. Don't ever let me hear you defiling my name. And I said, Dad, what do you mean? He says, let me tell you one more time. Remember your name. And I wonder if we as believers, if we could understand what God is saying, is that we must understand that when we have grafted ourselves into the vine, when we have attached ourselves to the vine and God's love is flowing through us, are we not now God present in the midst of the people? Isn't our last name God? Child. Children of God. With me, church? Are you with me? I'm trying to teach you here. Amen. Then, listen, it says, these things I have spoken to you, verse 11, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love what? One another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one is willing to lay his life down for his friends. You see, you have to remember that God, when he created the world, he looked at us and he says, okay, Adam and Eve and all of humankind, I want you to manage this property. And so we became servants of God. And now that we have become servants of God, God says, now I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I'm now going to call you my friend, which means your last name, which means we are partners in this together. Are you with me, church? And so it means this. It means that if we are children of God, our last name is God. That means God is no longer wanting us to be servants for God. He says, you're my best friend. And how many of you talk to your best friend? How many of you share with your best friend? How many of you live with your best friend? How about God? Is God your best friend? See, God wants you to understand that every time you walk out, every time you drive your car, every time you go to church, every time you speak, every time you sing, every time you preach, every time you do something, God is saying, understand that you have my name attached to it. You know how you're driving down the road and somebody's going crazy, honking their horn, and they're just screaming and hollering, and they flagging you, and they're just mean at you, and the car gets ahead of you, and on the back of their bumper is a fish. Jesus loves you. And all that, I said, whoa. In the back of your mind, you say, oh, that's a Christian. But they sure enough not bearing that last name. Are you with me, church? But thirdly, God has chose us to share his love. Listen to this right here in the scripture. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for servants do not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I've commanded you, that you do what? Love one another. Hear what God is saying. God is saying that I chose you. I chose you to bear my name, and I chose you to share my love. Understand this, Trinity Church, is that God says that if you want something, it comes back to the whole idea of whether or not you are attached to the vine. Amen. And if you're attached to the vine, you got to say, wait a minute, am I forgiving my neighbor? If I'm not, then God says, I'm going to put it on hold. I'm going to put a pause on everything that's in your life. life until you understand that I want to love through you. I want my power to flow through you. I don't want you to fake the Holy Spirit. It's like when the song is there, you're going to start shouting. You're going to start tapping your feet and do whatever you got to do. Why? It's because the Holy Spirit is deep down inside of you. And you just can't help yourself. You start shouting. You start crying. You start rejoicing. Why? Because God has done it. Amen? Because God has done it. So it's whether or not you are allowing God's love to flow through you and flow into other people that God says you will realize that you are chosen. Now, where's the good news in this? The good news is this, is that God is saying that we can literally change the world. We can literally change the world if we decide to let go and allow God's love to flow through us. We can literally change the world if we can let go and let God. We can literally change this church if we will become more servant in our heart, in our mind, and saying, God, not my will, your will be done. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? What I'm trying to say is that because God has chosen you, he says, now I got to get you ready. I got to lift you up. I got to clean you off. I got to pour the Holy Spirit in you. And now you're going to see something like you've never seen it before. Folk are going to expect one thing, and I'm going to do another. Folk are going to expect this, but I'm going to do that. Folk are going to do this over here and be acting funny, but I'm going to put you right. Amen. That's why you can sit in the midst of the fire and the fire won't burn you. You can sit in the midst of the storm and the storm won't touch you. You can sit in the midst of the pain and the pain don't mean nothing. You can sit in the midst of loneliness, but the loneliness doesn't bother you. You can sit in the middle of everything in the community, but the community can't change you. You can sit next to a man that don't love you, but God will give you love. You'll sit next to a woman that doesn't care about you, and God will give you a deep abundance that you've never experienced before. You can sit while your children talk about you. You can sit while your friends shout at you. You can stand when the world is against you. Why? It's because God is on your side and he's pouring the Holy Spirit down deep in you. When you want to get mad, you just gotta shout. When you want to get upset, you just gotta love. When you want to talk about folk, you just rejoice for what God has done in their lives. Are you hearing me, church? Are you hearing me, church? Trinity Church, it's time that we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to run through our lives, to run through this church, to run through our board meetings, in order that the power of God might be released into the community of East St. Louis. East St. Louis, you better get ready, because Trinity's coming. East St. Louis, you better get ready, because we're coming full of the power of the Holy Spirit, full of the love of the living God. We're not afraid of what the world can do. We're rejoicing in what God's going to do. Oh, give Lord. Oh, good Lord. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? We're chosen. We're chosen. God has chose you. But Pastor Freeman, you don't know about my life. He chose you. He chose you. He chose you. So we're gonna invite you. If somehow that love is not flowing through your life, you go to church and you still come out mean. Are you hearing me? You still go home, you still upset. Boy, Lord, beat me up this morning, amen. He beat me up. He beat you up, he beat me up, amen. But God is good. And so we're going to ask you to stand, congregation. We're going to invite those persons who maybe feel as if, no, Pastor Freeman, I really need to have that supernatural power of God to run through my life. That supernatural power of God to run through my life. And he can do it. Can he not do it? Oh, I'm believing God. I'm believing God that God has sent you here this morning for a reason. For a reason. And whatever that reason is, God says, now is the moment to make it happen. Now is the moment. So we're going to invite you to come. If you don't have a church home, and you need to have a church home, or maybe you need prayer. Or maybe somehow you're saying, Pastor Freeman, you know what? That love has not been flowing through me the way it should have. I've been talking about folk, get mean at meetings and mean at people. And I need a powerful breakthrough of the Holy Spirit this morning. So we're going to invite you, if you're that person, just come on down the aisle. Just come on down the aisle. Just come on down the aisle. Come on down the aisle. Come on down the aisle. If you're that person, just come on down the aisle. If you're that person, just come on down. 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 If you're that person, just come on down. Just come on down. Just come on down. Just come on down. And our ministry staff will pray with you, and our ministry staff will lay hands on you. And just come down. Just come down. Just come down. Come down. Just come down. Just come down. This is their blessing moment, y'all. This is those of you in the pew, be in prayer, because this is their blessing moment. This is the moment you're saying, God, I surrender it all. This is their blessing moment. God has a blessing right now. It's right here. God's giving them their blessing right now. Right now. He's giving them that blessing. He's giving them that release. He's making it happen. He's making it happen this morning. Hallelujah, church. Are you praying? Are you praying? Said, Pastor Freeman, I had a tough week. I need that breakthrough. Then we're going to invite you to come. Come get powered up. Join us this morning. Amen. Amen. Marlon Walker. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. On behalf of all the people of Trinity United Methodist Church. Amen. Being a part of the Methodist Church is a little different because it says, I will be present, I will support, and I'm ready to grow for the Lord Jesus. And then we as a church are saying, we're coming to lift you up, help dust you off, and put you in that right foundation and grow you in the Lord. So we're willing to do that. And so are you willing to let us help you? Amen. On behalf of First United Methodist Church, as an elder United Methodist Church, I welcome you to all and give you all the rights and privileges of a full member of Trinity United Methodist Church. Amen. Amen. Give us some love, y'all. Amen. We welcome you. Amen. And our staff is going to be in touch with you about how to get acclimated to our church and membership class and all that. But we're rejoicing because God is sending that blessing today. It's coming. Amen. It's already here. Lord bless you, my sister. And welcome again. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise. Amen.
I desire to make Jesus.